This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here's Speroni, who rolls the ball out to Cannon. He's got options in front of him. He picks out Thomas. This is a nice-looking move from Palace. That's a neat ball to Ambrose, with space on the right. Good turn. He crosses into Johnson! Oh, yes! Back of the nest!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I am your host, Terence Ford, of redandbluearmy.co.uk. And along with Albert Curley and Sam Hesketh, it's time to look ahead of the visit of Spurs to Selhurst Park. With Christmas music on the radio and adverts on the TV, it can only mean that the January transfer window is rapidly approaching and already silly season is underway. We'll discuss rumoured offers for Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Danny Welbeck. Carl of Hotspur Memories joins as the opposition this week and we'll talk new stadiums, injuries and how perception of players from the outside might not be shared on the inside, most notably around Kieran Trippier. We'll then turn to Max Meyer and short-termism, set pieces, polls, predictions, and much more. As Steve Parish said to Susanna Reid, let's get it on. I got there eventually with that intro, guys. Spurs. Another tough game. We've already had two in a row, third one of four. So, again, it's upbeat all the way through this. It's upbeat. We've got a negative Spurs fan coming on later. So, we might feel a bit more positive by the time we get into it. I'm joined by Hesketh this week. Hello, Sam.
Hello, mate. Can't wait to start moaning.
And, of course, Albert Curley.
I can't wait to hear you make Sam moan.
Right, one person, I'll start on you, Albert. I heard you on the review pod on Monday and you basically used up so much good material. I don't even know I'm going to be able to speak to you tonight.
I don't even remember using any material. So
didn't you just spend the entire podcast saying harsh to Dia?
Yes, true. But I mean, I wouldn't describe that as material. I just describe that as truth.
I wrote in my notes, Albert on review pod bullying DR. You reminded me of a big brother bullying his little brother.
No, I mean, we've spoken about this in private, not me and DR, us. I find it's much easier to disagree with people when you're reviewing something that's happened rather than speculate about stuff, which is what we do.
I disagree.
So, harsh. No, So no, I thought you know DR was being a bit harsh on James Tompkins, I thought, and you know, being twice his age, I thought it was my job to pull him up on it.
I thought his header was poor out for the first goal. I'm with DR. And the reason we're recording this on Wednesday night and not Thursday night, which A is interrupting my pub quiz night, so you're both in my bad books, but it's because you're going to another podcast tomorrow, Hesketh.
I am. Another football podcast as well. I'm not even diversifying.
I'm assuming that you're going to be getting the presenter from that podcast to come and be an away fan on this one.
Absolutely. I'll be doing all I can to talk to famous Plymouth Argyle fan, Josh Widdicombe.
We might draw them in the third round of the FA Cup.
This is true. Also, the guest is Barry Fry, so that's going to be quite good. I'll see if I can speak to him as well.
Yes, Barry Fry would be great. So this week, after hot on the heels of baby stories from the last two podcasts of Albert's vagina incident and Mike's pooing the bath.
It wasn't my vagina incident.
Well,
I don't want to break it to you, Terence, poo doesn't come out the vagina.
Well, I've got a kind of vagina story of my own. So I found out that my German wife's gynecologist is called Dr. Wanke. W-A-N-K-E. Now, when I drew attention to shine the light on this to my wife, I was like, how have you like not realized this in the past?
Metaphorically speaking.
She just said she'd never realized because it's always seen it as a German name. She's never sort of translated it into what it means in English. So yeah, so Dr. Wanke is looking at vaginas all over Germany.
I mean, I don't even... You haven't got his card, have you?
I will get one and I'll post a picture of it on Twitter so everyone can see. Right, transfers. There's been loads already being talked about. We're still just under two months away from the window opening. Right, we'll touch on Aaron Wan-Bissaka first. Hesketh, Man City is the big link.
Yeah.
And also Everton is a link where Matt Woosnam, Palace fan, very heavily involved in watching the youth team and understanding a lot of what goes on in the youth team, seems to think the Everton offer is actually legit. Like, they are very interested and they have been looking at him. Obviously, it's going to take big money to prize him away from us, but after just so little games, weird question, is cashing on him perhaps the right thing to do this early without knowing if he could actually maintain this for an extended period of time?
I don't think it is. I was a bit worried about the Man City link. I texted my Man City mate and he wants him for the chant, which is a bit patronising. But obviously they can, if we did want big money, they could afford him. Everton, I'm a little less worried about. I read somewhere that they wanted to offer Cenk Tosun, who can only score against Palace, I think, so he's useless. He's a Turkish Jordan Ayew, so I don't want him. I don't think we should cash in on him. I mean, if someone offers something stupid, like 50 million quid, then probably, because, you know, as good as he is and as much as we love him, I mean, to be offered stupid money for a fullback, it's quite tough to say no compared to, you know, a bid for Wilf, say. But unless that comes in, I don't really see the point in selling him, to be honest. I mean, we're probably going to, what I would imagine we do is give him a new contract again just before, you know, the January window opens on more money. He's still probably on relatively small amount, I would have thought. But yeah, I don't think we should sell him unless it's an astronomical amount, which I can't see it being, to be honest.
Yeah, he's probably not on as much money as Albert is at the moment, so he definitely needs a pay rise. Do you know he hasn't?
I ain't got a job at the moment.
Aaron, one.
No, I do.
You do have a job. You got one?
Yeah, I got a job today. So
congratulations. Obviously, that's going to be low key at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, probably a bit low key for a while, and you know, it might affect my, you know, I can't just sit around coming up with material for these podcasts anymore. I'm going to have to get out and do something. So my input on this might, if it's possible, might drastically fall. I can't be loitering at airports waiting for four-year-olds to complain about.
Enough about
various.
Just get your Santa skits in before you start your new job, okay? But back to Aaron Wan-Bissaka, he hasn't lost a tackle since he got sent off against Liverpool. When he fouled,
that's outrageous.
It is ridiculous. He's won every single tackle he's attempted since that point. And that one was only taking one for the team. So if you factor that in, he's only lost one tackle this season. It's insane. But yeah, so you can see why people are looking at him, especially with his dribbling stats as well, further up the field. I think his crossing can still, he can work on that a bit, but you know, he has all the makings of a fantastic fullback and potentially like a very top tier fullback. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens in January, but hopefully, obviously, unless, as Hesketh says, it's for 50 million, he's still in red and blue come February 1st. Danny Welbeck has also been linked. He's out of contract in the summer, so he'd be available for around about a cut price of 10 million, the papers seem to suggest. Albert, would Danny Welbeck turn into a banter striker?
Oh, this is one where it's really hard to not come across sounding like a spoiled Premier League brat here. Danny Welbeck isn't a renowned goal scorer, but I guess that's because he's been, you know, prancing around the sort of top six area of the league, and you know, he plays well. He's, you know, he's got a bit of skill, and he's a runner, but you know, he's not prolific, which has always been the problem with, you know, at United and at Arsenal. So for me to sit here and say, oh, I don't want him because he's not prolific enough. If he was prolific enough, we wouldn't be linked with him. So for 10 million, I'd probably be all right with it, actually. I'd fancy that. But, you know, like stepping into a bath quite cautiously, I'm happy to dip my toe in. But yeah, 10 million, it's not a lot, is it, to take a gamble on someone who's, you know, he might be Shamak. He might come in and score enough to keep us happy, but, you know, transform the front line a bit, give us a focal point.
Hesketh.
Yeah, I was just, I read somewhere, I've just checked it out to see if it's true, but apparently, and this is confirmed by some website, so who knows if it's actually true, only four players played or got more caps for England under Hodgson than Danny Welbeck. So Joe Hart, Rooney, Cahill and Milner were the only players who got more England caps whilst Roy was manager. So maybe the link isn't as silly as I thought it was when we first got linked with him.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely got it listed under Ain Appnin.
But yeah.
It makes sense for many parties, but you know, especially if he can stay fit as well, which he seems to have improved his fitness. Injuries seem to have gone away, but in saying that, there's no place like SE25 to rediscover your injury crisis. But you know, he's still got a lot of pace. He can finish. He's certainly, you know, an upgrade on what we've got in terms of outside of Benteke. So it'll be interesting to see if it happens. As I say, I think it's been mainly reported by a really shoddy Broad Street at the moment. So who knows? Another striker we've been linked with, we spoke about him a couple of pods ago, Gabriel Barbosa. Now it's seeming to be suggested that Inter are now willing to sell for a price of 20 million euros, which is them taking a loss on him. 10 million on Welbeck, Hesketh, or 20 million on Barbosa?
Well, I think if you spend 20 million on Barbosa, we'll be taking a loss on him too. He's one goal in 50 games in Europe or something, wasn't it, that we said?
Mm.
I don't want him for 20 million. I'd much rather go for Welbeck for half the price. I mean, Welbeck for the price of one Sirlot.
Yeah, one Sirlot indeed. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, despite scoring a hat-trick and scoring a goal against Burnley, four goals in two games, still appears to be linked with moves away from the club. Albert, Simon Jordan has been on the radio today saying that he should be picking West Ham over Palace. Thoughts?
I didn't hear that.
He said West Ham are in the ascendancy. It would be a decent move for Loftus-Cheek to get game time. West Ham is probably the better move for him with Pellegrini.
Trying to remain very diplomatic here, I don't necessarily disagree with that, because just looking at it from a, you know, Ruben Loftus-Cheek isn't a Palace fan. He's got a, you know, a mild allegiance to the club, but ultimately he's going to be looking at, you know, what's the most sort of fruitful move that he can come up with. West Ham will pay him more than us. And with the with the manager they've got and the resources they've got available and the the squad, they've probably have got a better chance of maybe breaking into the top 12. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but just looking at it in black and white, if you take away the fact that he's been on loan at us, I think most players probably choose West Ham over Palace. That's just the reality.
Harsh.
I know. And I hate myself. I absolutely hate myself for actually saying that. But like I say, I have to take off the red and blue glasses.
Steve Parrish might take away your season ticket with comments like that. Anyway, social media this week.
He already has.
I quite enjoyed the baggy fan on his own at Altrincham on the terrace. Did you see this, Hesketh?
I did. Loved it.
Boing, boing, baggies all over the terrace.
Just
on
a single
his own.
Boing.
Although I kind of feel like fans maybe should be boycotting that tournament. I don't know. I don't know really how I feel about it. But also another one, we can be really current because this has literally just happened. Sterling's dive for a penalty, hasn't he, Hesketh? Or is a dive too harsh?
Well, to be fair, I've only seen literally him kick the ground and fall over. So I can't tell you whether he did appeal for the penalty or not. Okay. But I'm wondering if Albert's favourite pundit, if his head's exploded thinking that it was Zaha. Chris Sutton, is that his name? Imagine if Wilford tripped over completely innocently and fallen over and a penalty had been given. He would go apoplectic, wouldn't he?
He certainly would. Are we still on bleeping Chris Sutton, Albert? make your notes, Billiam, and bleep it out. Right, before I lose control, we're going to go off now, and when we come back, we're going to be speaking to Kyle from Hotspur Memories.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Okay, we are now joined by our Spurs fan, Kyle from Hotspur Memories. Sir, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem.
So, how are you feeling about Spurs this season so far? Bit of squeaky bum last night in the Champions League?
Just a tad, yeah. It's been a weird season, to be honest with you. I mean, Europe's been a bit... it's been terrible. We should be walking the group, really. But, when we were drawn in it, I was thinking to myself, we should get through. Barcelona, glamour tie, brilliant. But we should get through that. And we've made a right pig's ear of it. And then the league, it's a strange one because, it is like up there with one of our best starts that we've ever had in the Premier League. And everything should be pointing towards the fact that we're great. But I don't know whether that's because we're measuring up against teams like now, like City, who they're a freak, like this City squad, and the success that Liverpool are trying to generate themselves, and how Arsenal have bounced back and Chelsea have bounced back. And I don't know whether, we're kind of sneaking under the radar, but we've not really played well yet this season. I'm kind of waiting for us to actually turn up and bang a team out. But
can you make sure that's not this Saturday, please?
it's just been a strange old season. It really has.
Now, a lot was obviously made in the summer without adding any players to the squad. But as you said, you've had a decent start more than a decent start. But obviously up against the likes of Man City, who, it's been revealed, have been basically cheating to build the squad that they have. Obviously, Chelsea's manager is doing a good job there. Liverpool have brought in some big money signings and have their front three. But do you feel that, especially with the amount of injuries you've got at the moment, that is really coming back to hurt you now?
Yeah, there's like a number of factors, and that's one of them for sure. I'd say it's coming back to hurt us. We're still winning games, which is mental. But we've had a crippling injury crisis all the way through. It seems like all the way through the season, and whether that's World Cup fatigue that's kicked in on a lot of the players who went deep, and or I don't know, just like freak incidents of like training, hamstring, knees, and how we've got through this. Poch has done like dream work, really. It's quite impressive, the fact that, I mean, I think we played four games in 9 days. We've had like six players out, and he's managed to rotate it and use 22 players. But barring a Lamella like howler in the last few minutes against City, we could have got like three wins and a draw. Instead, we just came out with three wins and a loss, which, you know, again, losing to City isn't exactly like the end of the world, because they're going to beat a lot of teams this season. But it's a strange one. The lack of signings in midfield, I think, is a big thing. I think I hate to speak on behalf of like every Spurs fan, but there was a glaring sort of area where I think we did need to strengthen this summer. It's just someone like a really big name, or like someone to come in, shake it up in the middle of the park, and really drive us through.
Don't worry, mate. At Palace, we need strikers and sign three left backs, so it can't be that bad. obviously, you talk about the Lamella miss there against Man City, and a lot of people pointed to the bubble on the pitch, and that's obviously come down to having to play home games at Wembley while the new stadium is obviously overrunning. Do you think that's going to impact your transfer strategy further down the line? I mean, Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher famously had a big old row about it on the Monday Night Football last week. So is it a stage now you just can't wait to get in there, or do you feel like there might be an adjustment period when you get in there?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It's like the unknown at the moment. And that's another sort of cloud that's kind of hanging over the football club at the minute. Like, we've got, no one knows when we're going into this new, to the new stadium, and it just keeps getting extended and extended. I'm a season ticket holder. I bought my ticket in the summer. Well, it'd be my second season of being a season ticket holder. So the first one was at Wembley last year. That ticket cost like £650 for the whole season. And I thought, you know what? The club have done us an absolute solid there. Year at Wembley, they're only charging us that. And then the new stadium comes in, it's doubled, and we're not even playing it. Then we're not even playing in it till like at the moment January.
Right, you talked about World Cup fatigue there with the injury crisis. Now, obviously, Kieran Trippier had a fantastic World Cup for England, scored the goal in the World Cup semi-final that made us all hope a little bit, but. You know, so from the outside looking in, we all think that, you know, Kieran Trippier is the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I get the impression from Tottenham fans that he's not having the best of seasons so far.
Yeah, again, I mean, we spent like the whole summer, just like you, absolutely loving him. And to be fair, I think we all kind of liked him. I mean, we all still do like him, let's be honest. But he was in great form last season. I thought, you know, his assists are amazing, as any England fan can see in the summer. And, you know, free kicks.
Any fantasy Premier League manager can tell you.
Yeah. His free kicks, where have they come from? We never saw him hit a free kick before last season. And then suddenly pops up for England and bang, amazing. but yeah, I mean, just like the others, I mean, hasn't really hit top stride since they've come back. And I think I don't know whether it's a change formation. I mean, we played three at the back quite a lot last season, and England obviously played with the back three, and it gives him a lot of license to just go forward, not have to worry about what's happening behind him. He's got three centre halves to do that, and this season, because of sort of like injuries and whatnot, we've gone back to sort of playing the trusted 4-2-3-1 formation, or 4-3-3. He's experimented with a lot this season as well, and it does just seem that in a back four at the moment, the way he's played, he's getting found out, or not found out, but caught out a lot positionally. He's been at fault for quite a few goals. If you're looking at the Wolves game, which absolute ding-dong of a game, by the way, that one on Saturday, and if our game's anything like that, then, you know, anyone going is going to get their money's worth. He's pushed high up the pitch because he's an attacking fullback, but he's stitched up Foyth with a hospital pass for the first goal. And then, yeah, he's pushed right up. And then instead of tracking his man for the second goal, he's just watching him go, pointing at everyone else. And then the poor young lad Foyth has given away another penalty. And that's just that game. I mean, there've been other incidents where, yeah, I don't know. It's just like everything else this season. You know, we're all looking at it thinking, come on, where are you? Where have you've been amazing for like the last season, World Cup, you were great, like with everyone, and it's just not quite clicking at the moment. When it does,
What you might not know is that Trippier and Zaha had a ding-dong battle because they grew up with each other in the Championship, and we were always up against Burnley every season, and a couple of times Zaha got penalties against Trippier as well by drawing fouls out of him.
So do you
think it'll be wise for us to play wide players on the weekend and sort of try and get at the fullbacks and exploit that space in behind?
Definitely, yeah. That scared Zaha versus Trippier or Davies scares the life out of me. He's a fantastic player, and do you know what? The weird thing, he reminds me of when I watch Palace games, the way Zaha plays for you is really reminding me of the way that Bale was playing for us in his last season, taking everything on himself, that sort of demeanour. Even the way he like moves around on the ball, he's fantastic. But yeah, any sort of pace up against our fullbacks does give me a little bit of dread. I think the middle of the park is going to be big as well. I like his skipper. He's good, takes a good penalty. He's, you know, we've got Harry Winks fit. I love him. I think he's amazing. He should be starting for us all the time. But we don't really have anyone else. I mean, it could well be Winks and Sissoko. That's how we finished against Wolves. And Sissoko, if you ask any Spurs fan about him, it's a bit worrying.
Yeah, well, I must say, I know this sounds terrible, but I did smile a little bit when I saw Dembele go off against Wolves, because I assumed he'd be out of this game because he's an absolute beast in the middle of the park. So yeah. That's obviously a huge miss. I mean, Sissoko has looked all right in the last couple of Spurs games I watched. He's driving forward, but he just seems to run out of ideas when he gets into that 18-yard area.
Yeah.
He always seems to make the wrong decision.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If Poch plays him in a three, I'll actually be quite happy with that, because again, it's that same sort of thing as Trippier. He's got other guys in there to sort of do that, help him out with that workload. And yeah, he is like a bulldozer. I mean, he's great. His work ethic, last few games of what we've watched, I've been really impressed with him. But like you say, I mean, the quality on the ball sometimes is a bit lacking. But I've come on, I sound really negative, but I'm looking at, like, you know, obviously, what I do going back and looking at all the sort of like previous games and stuff like that, you know, we've got a fantastic record against you guys. Like, and everything should be telling me that, like, you know, I think we've won, like, since you guys have come back, I think we've won like 1-0 six out of 12 games in the league that we played.
Yeah.
And every game's been really tight, but we've always seemed to nick it. And I don't know.
Well, there was the one at Wembley which Son scored and made it 1-0, and I don't know how we lost that game. Gazzaniga in goal had an absolute blinder.
Yeah.
We lost one at Son again 1-0 at White Hart Lane, where he beat Alex McCarthy at his near post, and Vaughan was in goal that day and he was a man of the match.
Yeah, yeah.
We've always seemed to catch you in a time where you're not in full flight, but you've always managed to nick it 1-0. And obviously I think the standalone wins for us are the ones where we won 2-1 at Selhurst in Alan Pardew's first home game.
And I think that's the last time we've played against each other on a Saturday 5:30 as well, right? If you're looking for
Yes. Opens. Yeah, that's right.
Good stat. Good stat. Yeah. Bravo.
Yeah, so. But, make a prediction for the game then. If you with all this negativity, I'm looking forward to hearing a 1-0 Spurs prediction.
I've got to go with form, right? Yeah, and it's like 50% of the time, we've played you in the league since you've come back. It's been 1-0 Spurs, so I've got to go 1-0 Spurs. Absolutely. But is it? that's my head or talking, but I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, 1-0 Spurs. Come on, you Spurs.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you so much for joining us, Kyle. And I'm looking forward to the game on Saturday. I'm hoping it's one where we can give you a go and you don't run out 3-0 like you did against Wolves, because we certainly won't pull two back for sure.
didn't you score two penalties in your last game?
And we're against your favourite team.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. And we're pretty good at giving away a penalty. But I would say, like, I wish you the best of luck for the weekend, but I'm really hoping we come along and we wake up and we give out our first dish in of the season.
I wouldn't expect any less, Carl. Thanks again, mate.
No worries.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Right, so it's Spurs Saturday 5:30. I don't know about you, Albert. And I don't know about you, Heskey, but for me, I'm sick and tired of not kicking off at Saturday at 3:00. And I've still got a couple of weeks to wait for that joy when we go to Man United and inevitably blow another great chance to beat a shoddy Man United team at Old Trafford. But 5:30 kickoffs, Heskey, what do you do? Does it ruin your whole day? You like to go and see the Streatham Ice Hockey team after games on Saturdays as well, don't you?
I do, yeah. Thankfully, we're not playing at home Saturday evening in Streatham. It's all right at the moment because I'm house hunting, so I can actually do some house hunting. But in reality, I hate any kickoff that isn't 3:00 on a Saturday or, you know, like 8:00 on a Tuesday. 5:30 kickoffs, much like the 4:00 one on Sunday against Chelsea, I don't, by the time the game's finished, it's sort of like, what do we do now? Obviously, we just go to the pub and get drunk because we've got battered. And then we get battered. But yeah, I just don't like them because it's just, I don't really know what to do. Like in the summer, I don't know what to do on a Saturday because there's no football to moan about. So I just sit around.
Albert, what's your 5:30 schedule?
I'm all right with it because it's the first game that I'm actually getting to this season. So it could be at any time of the day. And I'm all right with it this weekend.
And however, don't have to put the kids to bed on a 5:30.
No, well, that's it. I mean, it's bittersweet. I got my son a season ticket this year. He's not been. And the first opportunity that it comes up that I can go, I think, it's a 5:30. I'm not taking him. so my mate Paul's coming, who actually has just bought a flat on the Homesdale Road, a.k.a. The Dream. He's not a Palace fan. I'm all right with it. I don't mind a 5:30 on a Saturday. I'd rather that than a 4:00 on a Sunday.
Billiam, producer Billiam, is messaging in the group here saying that it's more drinking time for a 5:30 kickoff. Eskif, do you think he needs more drinking time before games?
Well, the first time I met Billiam was in the beer garden of the Cherries. And admittedly, it was after a game, but if that's what he was like 20 minutes after full time, I hate to think what he'd be like at the end of a 5:30 kickoff.
Yeah, no, with all those betting adverts at the moment saying, you know, you can put restrictions on it and how much money you put on, etc. Billiam really needs to not be able to tweet once he's had a few beers. So I can only imagine the state he's going to be in come kickoff on Saturday. We'll be sure to find you, Billiam. That's going to happen on Saturday. We're going to find you and give you some shots. That's what I did to you when I saw you. Where were we? Everton away last season? Liverpool away last season? Heskey, when I gave you a shot of gin.
Yeah, gave some gin.
Lovely.
That was...
A shot of gin? What are you, 17?
Well, exactly. I was an old maid. Oh, 17, yes.
Right, so I think the big talking point that came out of the Chelsea game was Max Meyer obviously got a start, but it wasn't the start that we were all hoping for, in a sense that, you know, he wasn't played in his correct position. He was playing in the narrow, wide left midfield position that, you know, Ruben Loftus-Cheek made his own last season. And it's obviously not the position we want him to be playing in. We want him in the middle of the park, preferably in a three. But it, obviously it didn't materialise in that way. And he had flashes in the game where he was decent, but drifted out the game a lot and couldn't really affect it, which obviously it's going to happen in games when you're playing against Chelsea. Chelsea haven't lost a game this season. Very, very dominant team, going to be challenging for the title come the end. Well, I say challenging for the title. They're certainly going to be in the top two, top three come the end of the season. And it's a tough place to go. Obviously, there's going to be a bunch of people who think we win there every year because we've won there two out of the last three seasons prior to Sunday. But, you know, it's always going to be a very, very tough game. And I thought it was a bit unfair to make his first real start in the Premier League back in the team to be that game against Chelsea. A lot of people over social media were saying that he's overrated, he's just an expensive Johnny Williams and all sort of things like this. But it feels like it's the same people who, to me, who were, you know, slagging off Kabaya after a couple of months when he was at Palace because, you know, he wasn't a 10 they all thought he was, and he wasn't banging him 30 yarders, and, you know, as they'd seen him do earlier in his career. So, Hesketh, on Meyer, is it short term? Is it me? Is he not a good footballer? Is it Palace fans just still being stuck in, you know, I want to see raking long balls, get the ball forward quickly. I don't want to see someone who sort of is more precise in his build up, or talk to me.
Well, I think it is short termism. I mean, he wasn't amazing against Chelsea, but I don't think he was awful. Like you say, he was playing against one of the best teams in the country. They're very good in the ball. And actually, I thought we played pretty well as a team, all said and done. It wasn't his, you know, probably his ideal position either, but he was fine. I mean, when we're bringing in, I hate to keep beating the sort of drum, but, you know, we bring on Ayew and Schlupp as the subs, and that, you know, but you can't tell me that they should be in the team over him. So whether he isn't, you know, a glorified John Yester or whatever, he's, you know, certainly in the team above Schlupp on merit, I would have thought. But again, like you say, with Kabaye, you know, the people, I don't know if it's that because it was heralded as such a big signing for us that, you know, we just expected him to be incredible from the off, which is pretty tough. You know, we've had the discussion about like Sørloth not starting games and having to do, you know, do things in sort of 10, 15 minute bursts and not really taking it. And I've been guilty of saying that. But it's the same with Meyer. You know, he's not played for prolonged periods of time in matches up until this point. But when he has come on as a sub, he's looked pretty good. He's linked up with Wolf quite well. And I think if he gets a good run in the team and plays in a bit more of a natural position, you know, I really think that he and Wolf are going to link up well and be a real sort of danger, because Wolf's gone off the boil a little bit as well. And I think having someone who's clearly technically very, very strong in Meyer alongside him, I think can only benefit the team, to be honest. So, yeah, I thought it was harsh. I saw a fair few people saying that, you know, he didn't take his chance and he's not the Messiah. But, you know, I think it's pretty tough to you know, dominate a game at Chelsea away when you haven't really started a game in the league anyway for months.
Yeah, people seem to miss that he's he's turned 23 now, but 23-year-old away from home for the first time out of the country. He seems like a very, very shy lad. So he's got a lot to learn in the Premier League. It's a very physical league. He's a slight person. He's going to have to become a more of a, you know, get at least a season under his belt before he can really, really get down and learn how to affect games. You know, Kabaye didn't run into England and start dominating midfield straight away. You know, he had to learn how to be a bit more of a terrier in the middle of the park, because he certainly wasn't that player when he first arrived. So there's a lot going for Max Meyer, and I think people have been very, very quick to just write him off. And I think it's maybe it's just the social media age where people want everything now and done. And, you know, looking for your 40,000 likes and then the next day no one cares about it, this kind of thing. You know, it's just, it's too short-termism. You've got to look a lot longer term with Max Meyer. And, you know, in the longer term, I think he's got a lot to offer to our club. You've touched on Sue a lot there as well. And when we was speaking to our away fan, Kyle, he mentioned about Spurs' fullback struggling. So, Albert, this has got to be the time that Sørloth gets his start right in the Premier League. And, you know, IU hasn't impressed. I know Sørloth weren't particularly great at Borough, but he was probably the better of the two. And if we're going to get at a Spurs fullbacks, we want to have Townsend and Zaha out wide. And that seems to make more sense, I think, with Sørloth through the middle than it does with IU.
Does it? Yeah, listen, it's now got to the point where it's like, right, your turn, you get on, you have a go. So why not? Get him on.
Well, I mean, going back up to Danny Welbeck chat earlier, I mean, it would be you'd be a lot more comfortable if it was Welbeck at the top of that attack, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, but, you know, trying to actually think sort of a bit logically about it, yeah, you know, we need Zaha to be attacking the fullbacks, like you say, and either driving into the area and you know, trying to draw the foul from people, which I thought was something Zaha had the opportunity to do a couple of times in the Chelsea game and didn't, especially against blooming Sideshow Bob. I think it was in the first half, there was a great opportunity to run at him and he sort of, you know, tried to sort of knock the ball inside. So yeah, if Zaha can play against some out of form fullbacks, someone's got to be in the middle to try and get on the end of it again, which was lacking on Sunday. You know, out of Virel to big lad. So someone's got to be in there, you know, just trying to shove people out of the way and get on the end of these balls that once every blue moon seem to go into a promising position. So again, I've said several times, not a massive Sørloth fan, but there's no reason why he doesn't deserve a chance on Saturday, you know, behind anybody else. Let him have a go. Get him in. Why not?
It's quite astounding. I was kind of hoping that by this time, Connor Wickham would have had a couple of half an hours under his belt, but he's obviously picked up an injury again.
I was going to say, he's had some half an hours, but it's more half an hours in the physio room.
It never rains, it pours. But obviously, the big thing to come out of the Chelsea game was set pieces and conceding too easily from set pieces. Now, you can go back and have a listen to the review pod from the Chelsea game to get Albert's views on this. So we'll get Hesketh's views. They've been key for us staying in the Premier League over the six years now that we've been in the Premier League. We've defended them well and we've scored a lot of goals from them. Could this be our undoing, especially with the fact that, you know, I'm looking this season now, despite being very, very positive on the opening day. And I think those outrageous predictions are going to come back to bite me come the end of the season. But, you know, I'm looking for three teams that are worse than us. And at the moment, I can find them in looking at Cardiff, Huddersfield and Fulham. But, you know, it could very, very easily be Fulham sack their manager and they have Sam Allardyce in charge within the next couple of weeks. And, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at Fulham as a side that will stay in the Premier League. So could this be our undoing if we don't sort this set-piece drama out?
Yeah, we definitely need to sort it out. I mean, I haven't watched the Chelsea goals back because it will wind me up, because they wound me up at the time. But they all just, you know, we're letting in, like, not great goals. I mean, you know, take away Xhaka's free kick or whatever, but we're letting in sort of goals that teams aren't really having to work hard to score in the last couple of months, I suppose. And that's certainly true of the Chelsea game. You know, whoever's marking whoever, if Morata's on his Todd at the back post and has, you know, all day to line up a shot, even someone as crap as him's going to score. So, I mean, considering our defence, you know, in play has been pretty good this year, we're having these moments where we have real wobbles and concede, and we do look really dodgy at set pieces. And like you say, we're not putting enough good balls in the box to be dangerous at set pieces either. So it's, you know, when goals are, we're finding them quite hard to come by at the moment, certainly at home. You know, if you can make a big deal out of these set pieces in terms of, you know, really trying to get shots in on target at a corner, at a free kick. You know, if you're not doing that, then you really are going to struggle. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we are working on it, but if someone could deliver a decent ball every now and again from a corner, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. What we are going to see is Christian Eriksen deliver a wonderful ball at some point from a corner, and Harry Kane's going to nod it in at the back post. But let's save those for predictions, which will come after this.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Right, we'll start with a poll. Oh, no, we won't start with a poll. We'll start with Hesketh. your prediction from last week. Do you want to talk us through it?
Yeah, wonderful punditry.
first one of the season.
First one.
What's that saying?
If
you throw enough shit at the wall, something will eventually stick.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of shit at Palace as well, so it was quite good. I predicted 3-1. I said we'd play all right and they'd have a bit of class to undo us. Don't know, they had a bit of class. Hazard was quite good when he came on. But yeah, I'm not happy that we lost 3-1. And I didn't put any money on it. So I've got absolutely nothing out of it.
Double loss.
Double loss.
Yeah, I said 2-1. What did you say, Albert?
I also said 2-1.
Okay. So not too bad from us. We almost sound like we know what we're talking about once in a while. The poll this week, 4 options on the poll this week. For a win, it was cock-a-doodle-do. For a draw, it was a cock-a-that'll-do. For a loss, it was cock that up. And for a big loss, just simply cock. 17% have gone for a win, 23% a draw, with 37% going for a loss and 23% going for a big loss. Albert, how do you feel about those poll choices? You were heavily involved this week. It was basically around Spurs raising their giant golden cock onto the top of their stadium.
In honour of it, and you know, and as I said on Twitter, I can relate to it because it's like mine. It takes a while to get up, but once it's up, it's a glorious thing.
Everyone in the Back of the Nest gang has voted for a loss this week. Absolutely everyone. I haven't seen a single win in there, and they range across the board. So, Albert, I feel like you might be feeling a little bit more positive.
No pun intended. The one for a draw was a bit of a mouthful. What was it again?
It was a cockle that'll do.
Okay. Yeah, even though you've repeated it, I really don't think I can say that. Like Carl alluded to, Spurs are winning and they're doing very well and it's one of their best starts. But again, Carl was pretty down on it himself. There seems to be, there's a little bit of sort of, they're unsettled with the whole stadium thing. They're winning, but they're not playing great. So I don't think we'll get, it's certainly not the flat out cock at the end of your poll. If we lose, it's not going to be, you know, a battering from a big cock. It's going to be, I think there's going to be a one goal in it, and I'd like to think we can score. So if we're going to lose, I think we're going to lose 2-1. But again, maybe we can get a 1-1.
Okay, so you've got 1-1 in a prediction league, so that's what you're getting stuck with. Ebo on Twitter said, it's always 1-0 to Spurs, isn't it? Echoing the thoughts of Kyle there. Same old, same old. 86-minute winner from Kane, obviously. Hesketh, I feel like you're on the same page.
Yeah, little cock for me.
Yeah, but what do you think is going to happen in the game?
Hey, harsh. I reckon, very similar to that last tweet. I reckon we're going to lose 1-0. I reckon Son will score.
Obviously.
With like 9 minutes to go. Although I watched the highlights of their game against Wolves. And if that young centre half plays where he just keeps like lumping people in the area, that'd be all right. If he doesn't play, we'll lose 1-0.
I thought it was actually a bit harsh on him. He like Trippier sold him up the river twice. And he got penalties given against him. I felt a bit sorry for him, especially on your debut, giving away 2 penalties. Imagine that. But I'm losing my head. I'm going for a win this week. I think we're going to win 2-1. They are absolutely, both of their fullbacks are out of form. They're massively missing Jan Vertonghen in the middle at the back. Dembele is out. Wanyama's still out. They're going to be stuck with a midfield two that is all of a sudden looking very lightweight. There's going to be no sort of defensive cover in there. So I think, especially if we can get Sorloth on there, but even if it's not Sorloth, if it's Ayew that's in there, with Ayew, Townsend and Zaha all floating around, I think they're going to find themselves in lots and lots of space. And I think it's going to end up with us causing a bit of an upset this week. I think there were signs there against Arsenal in batches. I thought there were signs there against Chelsea. At no point have we really looked like we haven't belonged on those two football pitches. So I think this is going to be the time that we finally get a bit underway. I don't really know where this has come from, this positivity, but I just look at Spurs' injuries and they look to me that they're in key places where we're strong. And, you know, you've both talked about Zaha not being in form. I think Chelsea, he was stuck in loads of impossible scenarios. The amount of time he had 3 or 4 Chelsea players around him, and even at times he was finding his way to get past all of them. I saw someone say on Twitter that he was treating Jorginho like training cones, which I found quite amusing. But yeah, I think this is going to be the week where Zaha finally gets tucked into this season and really takes it by the scruff of the neck and drives us towards a very much needed victory going into the international break.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
We haven't discussed what you're saying you don't know where it's come from, your positivity, and it's just dawned on me we haven't checked what you're drinking.
I was just about to say the same thing.
Yeah. you're not on like the Ouzo or
so
you're not in a really dark place.
It's a really late beer check then. I'm on it's 5.1% orange pale ale from Flight Suit DE14. I don't know, it was 3 for a 5 in Budgeons, other supermarkets and beers available. Yeah, I'm just getting run ragged at work at the moment. I'm getting so run ragged at work at the moment. I approached our CEO today because we announced our half-year numbers, and he's a Millwall fan. And in there's a big initiative underway at the moment at the business where they're teaching a bunch of people to code, and there's sort of managerial level ones as well. And he took a course for a few hours, and in that few hours, they teach you how to code a little bit and build your own app. So his app was at any one time you can open the app and it tells him how far he is away from Mills Stadium. So at the end of his talk, I went over to him and said, "Does it say how far away you are from Palace, or could it not compute 1,000,000 miles?" And
boom,
exactly. It was. It sounded better in my brain when I was going to approach him to say it, but.
And then you got fired.
and then I got fired. No, I turn my name badge around so he doesn't know who I am. So
did you have to give like feedback on everybody's work?
No, I wasn't involved in that class. So,
oh, I see. Because if nobody had liked his app, he wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's what it's called. Heskiff, just for the people who want to know, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking water.
You're sorry. Rubbish.
I've got Moe in the fridge. But I'm just drinking water.
Okay, go and give this.
P. Diddy or something.
I'm a very loyal O2 customer, so I got a free bottle of Moe.
I thought you were talking about the water.
But that's always free for me.
Very good. Very good.
And Albert?
I've actually finished. The beer check is so late. Technically, I'm not drinking anything, but I have had Budweiser. And I mean, not through choice, but a friend of mine, Paul, who I did mention already, lives on Holmesdale Road and he's actually coming to the game on Saturday. He left a can of Thatcher's Gold in my fridge on Saturday. And it turns out that's cider.
Yes.
And I don't really like it, but I drank it anyway.
Right. Here's the thing about Thatcher's Gold, right? Years ago, so 2007-ish, when the guy who ended up becoming my best man, he's from Bristol, and Thatcher,
not Dr. Vanker, was it?
No, not Dr. Vanker. You couldn't get Thatcher's outside of Bristol at this point. And they talk about their adverts and their commercial was all about, you know, the apple not dropping too far and making sure that they've maintained the same flavor. I can tell you now that 10 years ago, Thatcher's Gold tasted way better than it does now. They have compromised fully on their taste. So don't drink that crap. It's not anywhere near as good as it used to be. Unless you go back to Bristol and drink it close to where the brewery's from, and then it tastes like it should taste. So, yeah.
I wish you'd have said that before I drank it.
Mass production has ruined Thatcher's Gold as a drink for me. Right, Love Sport's already happened this week. That was on Tuesday night, so you can get that in your podcast inbox. Review show this week. It might be a Sunday. It might actually be happening on a Sunday. I'm assuming Hambo will be back after making up all sorts of excuses for not doing shows recently. I mean, I don't know. Which we oust him? I thought Mike was quite good. What did you think of Mike's performance, Heskiff?
Thought it was very good. I've mugged him off a little bit today because he thought he was coming on to replace me, but he's not that good. So
anyway, so hashtag Hambo out. We'll take over back at the nest between us. No. So, review a show on Sunday. Make sure you listen to that. And we will obviously be having a week off for the international break, and then we'll be back in your ears the following week to preview our trip to Old Trafford. Until then, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.